City Sport.
Red and blue banter and debate. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Friday evening, welcome along, 6.30. It is the Radio City Legends, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. We've got a special guest in here as well. We'll introduce him in a moment. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking with Jamie Carragher. But it's Sharpie and Aldo, as always. You all right, boys?
All right, Steve.
I'm just going through the fixtures to see if I'm even go close to winning anything from my charity clearinghouse.
I've been in for half an hour and Sharpie's been looking at that list for 29 minutes.
Yeah, I've changed it about five times. I've got to win this week. I've got to win this week.
This is going to cause Sharpie some serious psychological problems come mid-season, isn't it? You know these managers who suffer from stress.
The harder it gets, mate.
He's trying hard. He's trying really. He's gone for bankers. It just doesn't work. We'll talk to Dale a little bit later on in the hour. Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. He'll do the charity bet with the guys. It's just such a massive weekend to come back to off the international break, isn't it, John?
Yeah, you know, I quite enjoyed the break after that West Ham game. You have to say that was a kick below the belt, to be quite honest. No one's seen that coming, and West Ham totally deserved it. They were awful. So if there's any game for a player and a manager, you know, to come back and do well and try and get the stigma out of that game away, it's at Old Trafford or at Goodison Park against, you know, our two biggest rivals.
Yeah, it's great. The international break, you know, I think we're all glad to see it over, or the international fixtures over, and get back to the nitty-gritty, which is the Premier League. International's boring for me. There's not much interest. Listen, I used to be the case when any football on television, international, I'd watch it kind of thing, but I've just turned off a little bit, and I'm glad to see the Premier League's back. And as John says, two fantastic games, certainly involving our local clubs at the weekend. Bring it on, and bring back Mr. Mourinho to Goodison Park, where I'm sure he will get a fantastic reception.
I'm just saying, Sharpie, and it wasn't very nice for yourself, really, when Republic Ireland get 6 points and Scotland
next? What's happening now?
Get zero.
On, move it on.
Nil pois. Yeah.
Right, you mentioned Mourinho coming back. Yeah. The TV cameras will be focused on him. Now, our guest in the studio, you often refer to Alan Irwin as the greatest Stato. Or the most boring Stato. We've got an interesting Stato in the studio. He's a great friend of ours. Match of the Day commentator. We'll talk a little bit later on about his new book. But Steve Wilson, welcome along.
Thank you. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. It's brilliant to be. I mean, I know all the lads really well. And it's great to be here. And I can almost see where I was born over there. But I've never been up the tower before.
Come on, lad.
Yeah.
North Wales.
Almost, yeah. And I've never been up here before, ever.
Nope.
Yeah, never been up, so it's great.
Does blow your mind, doesn't it?
And fantastic.
You're a massive Tranmere fan as well. It's fine saying that, isn't it? You're sort of a publicly outed Tranmere fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, my dad took me in January 1975. The first game was Tranmere against Grimsby. Ron Yates was the Tranmere manager. Uh-huh. Stevie Coppell was playing. Ronnie Moore was a central defender in those days. And I followed them ever since, you know, through Aldo's era. We had Aldo on Football Focus as a Tranmere cult hero. 10 years ago, whatever it was, Aldo, took him back to Prenton Park. I don't think you'd been back since you left.
No.
I twisted your arm and you came.
Yeah, it's good. And
you know, as far as I saw Tranmere beat Halifax the other week, and I quite like the look of them, actually, and then the wheels have fallen off a bit, so I'm hoping they'll pick up.
Do you think they'll go up, Steve?
It's a tough...
And do you think it's important? We talked about it before, at the beginning of the season. Do you think it's... Well, I think it's massive that you have to go up the first time of asking, because I think it's harder, you know, the longer you stay down there.
I think that's right. You look at that league, and you look at Grimsby, and you look at Luton, who were down there for years. Bristol Rovers went down, bounced back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's obviously what you've got to try and do. But it's tremendously difficult, you know, really difficult, because, you know, Tranmere are the big club. I mean, 50% of all their away attendances have been Tranmere fans. Mm-hmm. You know, every time anyone comes to Prenton Park, it's a cup final.
It's the biggest club in the league now. You're there to be hit, you know. You're a scalp, you know. Is a scalp.
And
now,
I'll tell you what, there's, like, you know, the support has been fantastic, and hats off to everybody who's turned out, because the support away from home at home has been absolutely brilliant, and that's great. But you don't want to have to go to Braintree twice. You don't want to have to go to Bromley twice, you know. It's all right once, and you kind of think, well, it was something new, you know, but now we're back in the proper league. you don't want to be doing it again.
Now, of course, you've got Tranmere in the corner of your mind tomorrow because you're at Old Trafford.
I'm at Old Trafford.
right.
But
so,
I will be keeping it. Well, I'll know, of course, we're late kickoff, so yeah. I'll know the Tranmere-Chester score.
The Tranmere-Chester tomorrow will be a big crowd as well.
Yeah.
And then people talk, at the tail end of last year, we were talking about it. I think it was in one of the phone ends we were saying, and some people were saying it might be good for Tranmere to go down because of the attendances when they have to play Wrexham, they have to play Chester, local Derby, Southport. Yeah. You know, so we'll wait and see tomorrow, but I'm sure there'll be a big crowd there.
25 years nearly since they played each other, so, you know.
Which Tranmere manager gave you the most heart palpitations?
What are you looking at Aldo for there when you said that? Hey.
Do you know what? In all honesty, I think the most memorable game, which was you know the most memorable game for you know all kinds of reasons. It wasn't actually for me the win at Goodison, though that was fantastic because I wasn't there. I was working somewhere else. I remember it. I just was working somewhere
else.
So I wasn't
there. Steve, no.
But you can't remember it. No. But it was the Southampton game because I was actually commentating on it for the other lot and. And, you know, to come back and Paul Ride out to do it as well, you know, to come back against Glenn Hoddle Southampton was unbelievable. Yeah. And, of course, I'm doing it for a national radio station, so I'm on the fence. You know, I'm aware that, you know, I need to be neutral here. And, you know, as soon as the microphone went down, I was like... and, I mean, that was something else, that was.
Yeah, crazy.
Something else.
My favourite one was when John forgot how many players he had on the pitch. Yeah. Forgot in inverted commas. Right, let's get on to our teams this weekend. Match of the Day 365 is Steve's book. We're going to give some of those away a little bit later on. Alan Shearer's written the forward. Was he better than you two?
Yeah, his goals record says that.
260 Premier League goals. Yeah. I mean, that's
not bad, was he? Yeah. Right, where do you want to start? Everton, Liverpool? Go on. What, one of your
first games, so it's only ready to talk Everton. Everton's
early kickoff. Big game. One that everybody's looking forward to. I think because of the Stones situation, just gives it that little extra edge. Always great when you play Chelsea. And we've done reasonably well. You know, in the last few years, there hasn't been an awful lot between us. So it'll be an interesting one tomorrow. And talking off here, I've got a funny feeling we might get something. You know, Chelsea are not in the best of form. Listen, they've got fantastic players, we know that. But I just think that maybe with the way the atmosphere is going to be and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be bouncing tomorrow at Goodison. So maybe that just might push us over the line.
I always fancy Everton against the big team, especially at Goodison Park. I think they've just got something about the crowd are amazing on a big occasion.
Well, it'll be good that the crowd will be focused on the game and then Mourinho, other than other things, you know, off the field things and planes flying over and all that. It's important that they get behind the team, which I think they will do because of the Stone situation in Chelsea. It just adds a little bit more spice to it, doesn't it? And I just think that may be the reason why we might just get something out of it.
It does help as a player, you know, knowing there's an extra edge to the game and an extra fervour and seeing the terrace. And you sense that and it does bring the best out on you, you know, most of the time. And I agree with Sharpie. I think the lads will be up for it. You know, I think young Stones, he's just, you know, the manager's got to get it over to him how to play and how to handle the situation. Because let's not forget, he's still a very young player, you know. But I'm sure he'll take it in his stride and get on with it. But yeah, I agree with Sharpie. I can see Everton getting some tomorrow.
And do you know what? I actually think Chelsea are as vulnerable at the moment as they've been for about 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're not playing well. No. Courtois is now out for a while. Begovic is a very good keeper, of course. But if you look through the key players, I think, just looking quickly at their team, and you say, are they performing at the level that they performed last year? I don't think you come up with one name who's playing at the same level. Yeah. None of them.
No, Ivanovic especially struggled.
Yeah, Ivanovic is struggling. Yeah. Matic isn't the influence he was. Fabregas isn't as creative as he was. They'll all get there. Yeah. I mean, Chelsea will get there. Don't worry about that. They'll get there. But at the moment, I think they're doable, Chelsea.
Yeah, maybe the right time.
Someone suggested that the season could be the season where Mourinho actually maybe even has to fight for his job at some sort of point if things don't quite go his way. Do you think it's as bad as that, or do they need immediate results?
Well, listen, pressure's always there. You know, when you've got a job like that, the pressure's always there, and you don't know where the owner's going to turn, so you're always in that situation. But I would think it'd be
he'll get it right.
Yeah, I think he'll get it right.
I actually think this will be... I mean, he normally does 2-3 years at a club, and then he moves on. I actually feel now that he's changed. It's somehow, you know, he's a little bit older, obviously. Mm. He's at a different stage of his career. And I actually take him at face value. I think that he's thinking now, I want to be here for seven years. Yeah. You know, longer.
Long term.
Well, interesting. I'm not too sure. I've been looking at him and thinking, like, maybe looking at Bayern Munich or someone like that, where he's not been. But I think for his major goal this year, I think he'd be looking at Europe, the Champions League, seeing you know, what he could do in that, more so than the league, because that's what Mourinho likes. That's where he does things, and that's why he likes to be portrayed. Yeah. You know, would he be the first manager to win it with three different teams? Is that right? Yeah. I think if you asked him and he was an honest answer, he'd want Europe rather than the Premiership.
Could you see them doing that now, Aldo? Could you see
at this moment in time? No.
No, I think they'd be miles away from winning the Champions League. Obviously, as it goes on, as you said, they get better and everything else.
But will they get out of the group? I'd say yes. And then you're talking about the new year. And, you know, if their players are in form and they bring in a name or two in January, if they need it, then they can kick on. They would be a contender.
It can, of course, happen. You know, you look at Istanbul as a lovely little squad. Mm. That given year, it was, you know, you couldn't see us getting out of the league at one time. You know, we went on to win it. So it could happen. And if anyone could do it, Mourinho would be the man.
The Porto team, you won it with, wasn't that great?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's Radio City Legends, Sharpie, Aldo. We're joined by Match of the Day, Steve Wilson as well. Your calls, as always, welcome. And first up on the phone, Rob, who's a Red in Waterloo. Welcome along, Rob.
Good evening.
Hello, Rob.
All right, John. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, John, what you thought about the tactics of Rodgers, because we go down to Arsenal, bring in Lucas and get a great point when it should have been wrapped up at half-time with a bit of luck. Mm-hmm. And then your next game is at home to West Ham, and he plays the same team instead of possibly going for the 4-4-2 when the crowd want to see attacking football at Anfield. And, you know, we're just going round in circles yet again. He seems obsessed with this system.
Well, I think, Rob, you know, to be quite honest, watching the Arsenal game, he played very well, and on another day, could have won it, you know, convincingly at half-time, you know, with their offside goal apart. Played some great stuff, created some great chances. Their goalie was fantastic in the first half. When I seen the same team, I thought, well, yeah, you know, as long as you keep on creating, you keep on doing the same things. But it was all wrong. You know, West Ham come out, and whether we got a little bit blasé at the fact that we'd got 7 points out of the first three games with a couple of tricky ones there, and we perhaps thought things might just happen for us. I don't know. No one knows, because that happens as a footballer. You know, one given day you'd have too many players having an off day, and I like to think that was the case against West Ham, because when they got the first goal, I thought, we're going to struggle here. I thought, we're going to struggle big time here. You got a player in Benteke. You know, and if you don't give them the service, which we didn't against West Ham, there's a problem. And I know a lot of Liverpool fans are saying 4-4-2. A lot of teams don't play that. Most teams, 90% of the team don't play that. You know, one of them drop in behind. But what I want to see tomorrow, Rob, I want to see Ings get a chance. I think when he came on against West Ham, he brightened the place up. You know, he's the only real positive to come from the 90 minutes. And he was making things happen for Benteke and himself. Got a few little chances himself. So he's one of those who can start in position on the right-hand side or in behind Benteke, with Coutinho not playing. And then when we got the ball, to push up and feed off the little bits, what Benteke, the flick-ons he gets. He's the type of player that would be ideal for his flick-ons and the second balls and such. So I'm hoping he gets his chance tomorrow, Rob.
Yeah, you don't seem to be playing to Benteke's strengths at all. You know, you get like Jordan Ibe and Firmino. They don't seem to go wide. They seem to cut inside more so than just stay wide. I mean, you get Coutinho. I know he's not playing tomorrow, but he cuts inside. But no one goes outside him, so he hasn't got that outlet to get the ball over to Benteke.
Yeah, well, the stats show that against West Ham, we put the less balls in the box from wide areas than any other team in the Premiership that weekend. So, you know, you've got to get Klein up top, you know, in the final third, you know, and Gomez, which is difficult because he's a right footer, but you still got to get someone who's going to get the runs into them, getting balls into the box. And as well as that, when we did get the balls into the box, I was disappointed the fact that it was only Benteke was in there most of the time, and people were outside the box. Coutinho was outside the box. Firmino was outside the box. You know, and you've got to get players in and around, because he will attract two centre-halves and he will create space for someone to manipulate and get into that area to score a goal. We've got to get more players into the box as well.
Rob, we're going to have to move on. Really appreciate your comments, sir. Thank you very much.
Jeez,
thanks for your call. Great to have you on the show. Radio City Legends, 4720967. Steve Wilson's it. Do you have these ridiculously complex stat sheets that I've seen Clive Tilsley have? So go on, what's your best stat for tomorrow?
Well, here's
have you got it? Have you got
here,
it with you?
We are.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
myself and John never worked like that in commentary, did we, John? John didn't have a pen.
I want to know how he can read that. How small's the print, dear?
I know.
Without glasses as well, Steve.
Well, I do need glasses. It's getting that way anyway. This is me, Wayne. I mean, Wayne Rooney's had a good week, obviously. Yeah. So here's me, Wayne Rooney. Prep, I suppose. Third in the all-time Man United scoring list. Bobby Charlton, 249. Dennis Law, 237. Rooney, 233. 26 club and country games without being booked now, which surprised me. Yeah. 10 goals in his last 12 England games, but his last 10 Manchester United goals have taken 30 games. Mm-hmm. Now that begs a question. What opportunity? You know, why is he scoring for England at a rate where he isn't able to match that for Manchester United? Is he a 9? Is he a 10? Are they a striker short? Yeah. I think they are, actually.
Yeah.
And all those Liverpool fans are delighted with you for saying that.
No.
And you know what? Get your money on Rooney. 1-0.
Right, let's get
back to Alan Edmund.
He's worse than Alan Edmund, isn't he? Let's get back to the phone lines. Bobby's an Evertonian. Hiya, Bobby.
Hello, mate. It's all right.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, all right, Sharpies. Just wondering, how do you think we'll approach the game tomorrow, Dave? Is it all else attack, or do we sit deep and let them come on to us, or do we let the crowd maybe play the extra man for us? Because I think we'll be up for it tomorrow.
Yeah. What would you like, Bobby? That's the most. What would you like to see? I would like to see them get after them.
Yeah, definitely. I think if we start slow, Graeme, I think it's going to. It's going to be important to think that we've got the impetus with us at the moment, and if we can get the crowd behind us today and put them on the back foot, I don't know what's going on at Chelsea at the moment, but it begins with an M, I think. I think he's causing a lot of unrest with the fans and with the club again, and I think it's a good time to play them, Graeme, to be honest with you. So I'll just sack them, to be honest with you.
Well, I think, Bobby, if we've talked about games in the past at Goodison and where they've been at their best is when they've got after teams early. You know, look at the Arsenal game a couple of years ago, 3-0. We got after them early, and they were surprised. You know, they thought, what's going to happen? And the crowd, especially with the Mourinho situation, they'll give them some pelters tomorrow. Everybody will be up for it. And you're thinking, why not go and start on a high? You know, don't sit back and wait for it to happen. Go and make it happen. So I'd like to see is going on the front foot, you know, get the ball forward to Lukaku. Lukaku's got a big point to prove as well, you know, and the fact that he's up against his old team, you know, prove Mourinho wrong. You know, let's go out and let's get him the service. Let's get them turned at the back. They've been conceding goals. As Steve says, the goalkeeper's out tomorrow. So let's put them under pressure early on and see what they're all about. Because once we get ahead, you know, they'll have spells in the games as well. We know that. They've got quality players. But let's start on the front foot. I think if we start on the front foot, we've got more chance of winning.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Graeme. And again, I think this one's going to be a bit of a crowd pleaser tomorrow. And again, you know, Graeme, I'm right there. I'm right next to the dugout.
Yeah.
And I give it as good as most people, to be honest with you. I basically want the crowd tomorrow. They can be our extra man, you know what I mean? And that's myself included. I just want to be sitting there, Graeme, after 10 minutes and, you know, being a little bit, you know, despondent, why aren't we attacking them? Because, again, if you sit back against a team like Chelsea and you do go down, I think last season's approach, we nearly got it right, Graeme.
Yeah.
We were scoring goals and, you know, obviously the class in the end showed through. But, you know, the crowds were up for that. If we can be up for it right from the start, there's no reason for us to go 1-0 up and then again. There's more pressure on Chelsea than Graeme. We don't want them sort of taking their time and then kicking us off when the time's right.
Bobby, very quickly before you just go here now, I think maybe going for a break, but would you start with Naismith in this sort of game?
I would, you know, because he's full of running and he's a little bit of a pest, if you like.
Yeah.
So any defence, Tony's done all right, but I think Naismith can play a better role, more central. You know what I mean? And we're going to need him. You know, if the ball's going to be getting pumped up to the cafe, he needs someone to there. So
running off him. Good show.
Great to have you on the show. Thanks very much, Bobby. Good thoughts as well. They're positive, super positive, Blue. We'll get some more of your tweets later on in the show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be speaking to Jamie Carragher after that. And the charity bets are back.
Radio City Sport. Red and blue banter and debate. The legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
4 minutes, Steve, out of time. So we can just sit back, relax, and enjoy. Oh!
Forward ball.
The is in.
Now, four. Center and a goal!
Yes!
He's hit the keeper!
Get
in! And for a second game running, Andrea De Sena has scored the fourth goal for Liverpool. They hit four past Real Madrid midweek, and Manchester United have succumbed to a magnificent four from Liverpool today.
Oh, I love it.
Andrea De Sena, Chips van der Sar. And it's a day of history for Liverpool at Old Trafford.
Ah, the Radio City legends, John Aldridge. We're sat in a studio now. We spent 15 years sat in stadiums, but it's great to hear that one.
That was right up there with the best, yeah. You know, walking out of Old Trafford with a 4-1 win.
You seem surprised, do you, when that went in?
It was De Sena.
What a week De Sena had.
Andre De Sena.
That's the week of his life, isn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you hear Aldo's cackle on that? Yeah. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Like, what's he doing scoring? We could do with a few more of those. And, of course, tomorrow we hope it will happen again. Right, in just a moment we're going to talk to Jamie Carragher. We'll tell you the story behind this interview. I'm not just saying it because he's a good friend, but Steve Wilson's written this. It's called Match of the Day 365. And it's basically got a fact from every day of the year, spanning how many years, Steve?
Yeah, well, what I decided to do is I've been working right through the whole Premier League era, actually a little bit before it, but I just thought, you know what, so much has changed in the 23 years of the Premier League. So I started in, it had to happen between 1992 and today, so 2015. So everything that's happened in those 23 years, and there's one big event for each day of the year. So January the 1st is page one and December the 31st is the end of the book. And there's one article basically for each date, picking out something which I've decided is the most significant thing which has happened in on that date over the 23 years. And then just banging in at the end of it also on this day. So if anybody argues and says, hold on, we beat United that day, why come it's not that? That's there as well. But there's all kinds of, you know, you forget. People of my age, you know, I'm 48 and I kind of think back to 1993. Thank you, Sharpie. I think back to 1993 and it was kind of like, oh God, yeah, Norwich nearly won the Premier League in 90. You know, I'd sort of half forgotten that. So it's reminding people of things that happened back then, and perhaps for some of the younger people who are like, what, Norwich nearly won, you know, they did. Yeah.
When you think of that first Premier League, the Oldham were in it. I was in the
Oldham were in it. Yeah.
Sheffield United.
That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, at them now.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Swindon Town were a Premier League club, you know. So there's lots of stuff about the big clubs, but there's a lot of stuff about the littler clubs
Christmas Day. Christmas Day, I'm onto there.
That
yeah.
was the hardest one.
No, that's the one I'm trying
that
to catch.
That was the hardest one, you know. Yeah, that was the toughest one. Yeah, that was the toughest one.
Isn't that great that he went straight to Christmas Day? What is it?
There was actually a game on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it was the first division, which was the Premiership.
Yeah.
And it was Jimmy Greaves scored four times in a 7-4 win at Stamford Bridge. Well, Chelsea beat Portsmouth.
Well, do you know what? That's the only day where I went back before 92, because obviously, you know, we haven't played any football on Christmas Day then. But there were games in Scotland in the 70s on Christmas Day. And I remember Jimmy Armfield saying that he once played for Blackpool. They played on Christmas Day. I think it was away at Portsmouth, you know, and you're thinking like, at least you'd play a derby, wouldn't you? At least they'd play Bolton or Fleetwood or something. But they played at Portsmouth, I think, on Christmas Day. And Martin Keown told me a great story. I rang Martin. I said, give me something. What's it like being a footballer on Christmas Day? You know, and he said, well, Wenger, you sort of go off to some hotel. There's nobody there. You know, you can't get anything to eat because the place, the kitchen's shut. And Wenger wouldn't let him bring anything. And Martin said he always used to smuggle a selection box into his case. And he'd be sitting there on Christmas night, troughing away on his topics and his marriage. marathons and all the rest of it. And
Steve Nicol would have smuggled a six pack in.
Right, look, we've got to move on. A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking with Sharpie about a visit to Alder Hey today. First, we're going to play out the interview that we did with Jamie Carragher about 10 past six. The reason being, he was playing five-a-side football. He said he'd come on the show at seven and then phone up and said, I've got my times wrong. John wasn't here, so we start this interview with just me and Sharpie, and then John bumbles into the studio. Anyway, we're just going to play the whole thing. Apologies if it's a bit messy.
Okay, this is the Radio City Legends. Now, we have to be completely honest with this bit. It's about 20 minutes before the show started. Aldo's right up at the top of Islington. Cara was going to come on at seven, and then he got the time wrong for his five-a-side game, Sharpie. Would you believe that?
I can't believe he's still playing five-a-sides. At his age, you've just got to realise your time's up. Only joking, Cara. I know how fit you are.
I was about 32 and I knew my time was up.
Jamie Carragher, welcome to the Radio City Legends show. Five-a-side. I said to someone in the office today, if I turn up for a five-a-side game, I would not want to play Cara.
I agree with you there. I think. Do you think he's as committed as he always was?
Oh, there's a lot of cheating. There's a lot of fouls, a lot of kicking, and we normally win. Like derby games.
Yeah.
Where do you play? Is it with your mates, Cara?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a few family, few mates. Yeah, every Friday. Yeah, little stadium.
Would you hate losing those games? Is it the same, Jamie Carragher?
Yeah, but sometimes I think you're worse in them games than you're in proper games, to be honest. Like going back to the school, anything goes.
Yeah, Cara, big game tomorrow. Was it one of the favourite games that you look forward to? Obviously, the Derby game comes up. Was Old Trafford one of the favourite games you thought, bring it on?
Yeah, certainly with Manchester United. I mean, there's no doubt you favoured the Liverpool one, at Anfield, because you felt you had more chance of winning because the United side I played in against were the best. Mm-hmm. They were the dominant side, really, throughout my time of Premier League football. So it was always one of the most difficult games, really. So it wasn't something that you really look forward to, but we got some good results over the years there, but obviously we had some defeats there because they were the top side.
You doing this game for Sky tomorrow, are you, Jamie? Half five. So you're on the box. I'm sure plenty will be watching. Do you think there's very little margin between these teams? Are they both struggling to really find themselves and what they represent this season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's early days within the season, but I think, last season Man United pipped us for the top four position, but the fact that Liverpool got to two semi-finals and were in Europe as well, I think those extra games had an impact on that, really. So I don't think there was too much between the sides. I think this year the signings both sides have made, they can probably be pleased with what they've done, but I think what's massive for United now is the news that De Gea is staying and he signed that contract. Whether that means he'll be there longer than 12 months, who knows? But at the moment, I think United have probably got the slight edge in terms of squad and what they've got available. But they're in Europe, this season, so will we. But I think that'll depend on how far each side goes in Europe or the domestic cup competitions, who gets that maybe fourth place, Champions League place, because I still think both sides are short of the top three teams.
Mm. And tomorrow, Jamie, Coutinho's going to miss out. How do you think Liverpool will set up without him?
Well, I'm not sure because with Brendan, you're never quite sure. I mean, against West Ham, second half, he came up with a back three. I think in this game last season, that was the first time we saw the back three. That changed to 3-4-3. He may give some more support to Benteke, maybe do something different that we haven't seen, that we're not expecting. I mean, you could set up the way they did at Arsenal and, the best performance really this season. But without Coutinho there, who would you put there? Because I think Lallana's maybe struggling as well with an injury. You've got young Jordan Ibe. But I think Jordan Ibe's maybe the obvious one to come in because, you need an attacking player there, a wide player who's going to continue with the system he's used throughout this season, which is 4-3-3. But I wouldn't be surprised if he had something up his sleeve, the manager.
We probably think we can get a goal there, and Benteke is going to pose a threat, isn't he, Jamie? Other end of the field, and if you look at Dejan Lovren and the position that you know so well, he was given a massive opportunity at the start of this season, but you just wanted to see some consistency. But you can't help but feel, but all eyes are on him with the mistake after the West Ham game. How do you think he's going to cope with that? And can he sort of dig deep and show what he's all about?
Well, to be honest, I think he's found that difficult, the extra scrutiny on him. I think we all know in the game when you play at certain clubs and then you go to one of the, you know, the top clubs, or, you know, when a player went to Everton in the mid-80s when Graham was there, or, you know, players come to Liverpool, there is extra scrutiny when you're getting judged week in, week out. That was different from Southampton. Mm. I think he found that difficult. And I think the first three games of this season, I thought he was really good, played really well, outstanding at Arsenal. And then I was at the West Ham game at Anfield in the crowd, and it was watching someone who, it, like, the confidence had got to him. He was overconfident, or his performances had sort of made him think he was better than what he was. And he was trying 50, 60-yard passes. He tried to step over on the halfway line. And then the mistake he made, trying to be too clever, I think in the second half he had a shot from about 40 yards. It was just things that basically things that I couldn't do. He was trying.
Well, that's the thing, Cara. This is what drives me nuts as well. You're a defender. So first and foremost, defend. And if you want people to play, give it to somebody who's further forward who can play, and that's their game. If you're a defender, as you know, and done it fantastically well, that's what you've got to do. That's what you get paid for. Defend first and foremost.
Yeah, and I mean, the three clean sheets is what had been praised for. So going into the West Ham game, it shouldn't be about, I'm going to do this, I'm going to try that. It's like, get another clean sheet.
Yeah.
Keep doing your job, defend properly, do that. And that's what worried me a bit, that the fact on the back of a few good games, he seemed to change what he'd been doing for the first three or four games. So, you know, that was a bit of a worry. But I think the manager will stick with him. Mm. He obviously favours him, you know, over Sacco.
Would you stick with him, Jamie?
I think I could understand him starting the season with him. I think a lot of supporters were surprised that he'd gone with Lovren over Sacco. But he obviously fancies Lovren over Sacco. I don't think any of them have really covered themselves in glory. But I'd say Sacco has performed better than him last season. But for this game now, I think, and what happened, it feels like he's gone back to square one. We'll see how he performs tomorrow. But in terms of the supporters and how they view him now, you think he's going back to last season after what he built on the first few games. So I think after his performance against West Ham, I'd have probably changed it, to be honest, and bring Sacco in, because you never know he's going to recover after, you know, performance like that. And it's nothing new. It's a lot of what we've seen last season, and it felt like it was going back to the times of last season.
Now, Aldo could be bothered to join us, so he's just actually joined us in the studio now, Jamie. Aldo, welcome. Thanks for joining the show. It's a bit early, I know, but Jamie Carragher's on the line here.
Got caught in traffic.
No, you're finishing your pint.
Not yet, Cara. I'm off it, mate. I'm off it for a few days now.
Is it a must-win, Cara, for each manager? Are we too early to be talking about that? Seems a lot of pressure on both of them.
I wouldn't say it's must-win. It might be must-not-lose, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. For both managers, really, that's my newspaper column tomorrow.
Blown open.
But no, I think it's a game where I think Manchester United fans are looking at Louis van Gaal now. It's pretty similar. Both sides got points in the first three games without really convincing. And then, you know, really poor defeats in the last out, which people were saying is coming because the performances weren't up to scratch. So these are the type of games I think that can make and break it, really, as a player, a manager, because it's so high profile now. And I think the games last season were massive for Louis van Gaal, really. Man United made a poor start, beat Liverpool in December. That seemed to take the pressure off him. And I think towards the end of the season, the win at Anfield basically guaranteed a top four position for them. So they had a major impact on both managers' seasons last season. Mm. And I think it could be the same again. So that's why it's vital, I think, for either manager, but, you know, more importantly for us and Brendan Rodgers, that we don't lose this game.
Mm, totally agree. I think going into the game, I think Man United will be a little bit resurgent. The fact that Rooney now has started scoring a little bit, his confidence will be high. You know, he's got a couple of penalties. It does help you as a goal scorer. And also, I'd have wangled the gear situation. They've done well there, haven't they? Mm. He's joining Madrid and they've turned it upside down on his head, haven't they, some way, haven't they? You've got to give them credit for doing that. However they did it, It looks like he's staying now. So that will breed confidence within the camp, won't it, Jamie?
Yeah, well, we all know what happened when Suarez signed the contract, so I wouldn't get too carried away with the Man
United. True enough.
But no, listen, I don't know how he's done it. He looked like he was going. I think he's one of the best, not the best goalkeeper in the league. Well, he certainly was last season. It's a massive deal for Manchester United, but as we know with the game today, I'm sure there will be different bits and bobs in that contract, release clause, or whatever it may be, you would expect. And it remains to be seen how long he will see that, but of course, he thought they lost one of the best goalkeepers in the world for the season, and they've got him. And it looks like his first game against us, which is a problem, because if you remember the game at Old Trafford that season, the amount of times Raheem Sterling went through and the saves he made, he was outstanding.
Well, it could have been the other way around. It could have been 3-0 Liverpool quite easily if Brad Jones would have done one or two little things on the day. You know, their goalkeeper had won an absolute stormer, you know, that game. And he's massive for them. And you know, he could turn the season round. I really think defensively, because they always look a little bit suspect to me defensively. And with him at the back, he consolidates the whole lot.
Jamie, go ahead.
I mean, I think defensively, I've watched them all over the last few months, and they look like they're getting a lot tighter. I think Chris Smalling's improving, but I mean, we saw last time out at Swansea where the situation with Gomez up against Daley Blind, and he caused them huge problems because physically he can't deal with that, you know, pace and power really, because he's a clever footballer, Daley Blind, but you know, he hasn't got those physical attributes to deal with that. And hopefully, if you Benteke, Blind and Rodgers, that's something they've got to look at and try and get Benteke against Blind rather than Smalling throughout the game, try and feed him and use that power and pace.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get a quick prediction off you, Jamie. What do you think's going to happen?
I'm going to go for a 1-1.
How did I know you were going to sit in that fence? Hey.
Yeah. No, I'll go 1-1. I mean,
I've got to change my scoreline now, haven't I?
Yeah.
I fancy Liverpool.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I fancy Liverpool.
To be honest, Mike, my worry for Liverpool going into the game is thinking how we're going to get score a goal, to be totally honest. I don't think we've looked too productive in terms of, never mind scoring goals, actually creating chances. And definitely won't fear going to Old Trafford, but they're in the same boat, really. They don't look like they're creating too much, scoring too many goals. So I think it'll be a low score. I'll go for 1-1.
And what about your five-a-side? What's the prediction on that one, Jamie?
Oh, we'll win. All the lads are coming in now. They're all parking up. They've all got the Barcelona kits on.
Carragher seemed to win in a yellow card for Jamie.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for joining the Radio City Legends, Jamie.
Cheers, boys.
That was Jamie Carragher talking in the last hour. Thanks to him for joining us there. Fascinating insight on stuff. Going to take a short break after that. Charity bet. The boys are at the ready.
Radio City Sport. Red and blue banter and debate. The Legends with Aldo and Sharvey.
Welcome back to the show. The hour is running away with us. Thanks to Jamie Carragher for joining us. Fingers crossed, Stephen Gerrard said he'll join us on Monday. Today, you were with Leighton Baines, and you headed where, Sharpie?
Yeah, I was at the New Alderney Hospital. Absolutely fantastic building. You know, it's when you think Alderney, old building as it is now, but this is state of the art. You know, this is fantastic. Listen, something that they can be extremely proud of. We had a tour round. Baines and I, and it was really eye-opening, you know, and it's a fantastic building. Listen, fantastic cause as well. They do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. They're telling me about how many people are going to be working there, over nearly 2,000 people. You know, it's a fantastic facility, something that the people of Liverpool can be extremely proud of.
Yeah, well done. And it is important and it needs money raised, and that's why John Aldridge has to get his charity bet into gear. And on the line we have Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Oh, I love this time of the week, Dale. I love it.
I don't.
You love putting the pressure on the boys, don't you?
They've got a hospital to build here. Yeah. John's raised £480 so
far. No, he hasn't. He hasn't done it.
We haven't even been able to buy a spade yet to start digging a hole.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's take it away. Last week was a write-off, wasn't it? Mark, you set up the referee fund for Mark Halsey. He failed. But we've got Steve Wilson in the studio today. So Steve, Match of the Day commentator. If you don't mind, he's going to pick three as well, Dale. But
not a problem.
Okay, I'll leave you with the boys. Sharpie.
Okay, I'm going to go for three, Steve. Two from the Championship, one from League One. I'm going to go Cardiff to beat Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think that's looking really strong. Cardiff in good form and Huddersfield really struggling at the bottom at the moment. So, yeah, you're looking about 21-20, just over even money for that one.
Okay, then I'm going to go Middlesbrough at home to beat MK Dons.
Okay, well, that's going to be one of the shorter ones, but 4-7. I mean, Borough, that was a huge surprise a couple of weeks ago. They lost at home to Bristol City, didn't they? That was a coupon buster for most people. But let's hope they deliver with the 3 points.
Oh, and here we go. My nemesis team, Blackpool. I'm going to go Gillingham to beat Blackpool. It's got to come in this week.
The whole of the country went down last week on that Blackpool win. Yeah. I think they only had two shots in the whole game, didn't they?
Oh, don't say that. It's making them feel worse.
Well, I know. The one thing with Gillingham, they've won their three home games all to nil. And, you know, in the process of that, beating Sheffield United and Wigan to nil at home. So they're flying high, the Gills. 8-13 for Gillingham. So, yeah. Looking good there. I hope you get all those because I'll be back in two of the three of those myself.
All right, sounds good, Dale. Thank you. Come on, Aldo.
Okay.
Right, I'll stick with the Premiership with the exception of one. I'm going to go Arsenal, Dale.
Okay, yeah, Arsenal. Yeah, they should deal with Stoke. I think they've won the last 13 at home in all competitions against Stoke, so they've got a good record against them. But 2-7, it is what we expect, pretty sure. But let's hope it gets the business done.
Okay, I'm going to go for Swansea to win away at Watford.
Yeah, Swansea, I think that's a good one. That's one I fancy this weekend. 8-5 is the price. I mean, Watford just struggling for goals, haven't they? 2-0 draws so far. And Swansea, Gomez and Ayew, you know, the pair of them have struck up a partnership straight away, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Swansea's a good one. Let's hope that one comes in.
And the last one, I was split between Spurs and Tranmere. But I'm going to go for Tranmere. I'm going to go for Tranmere to win against Chester. I'm just going to... I think it'll be a really big crowd. It'll be great atmosphere and...
You're looking around 4-5 for the Tranmere win. So yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you can get them in, as you say, big sort of local derby against Chester. So fingers crossed we can get the three of them in. I think wouldn't Tranmere in are the only winning treble that we've had so far?
Yes,
I think it might have been, wasn't it?
And it caused an argument because I wasn't allowed to
bet on the Scottish games, but these are going down conference now.
Yeah, I know, it's outrageous, isn't it?
Scandalous.
We've got to get the terms and conditions sorted, haven't
exactly.
we?
It's worrying because the future of the health service relies on Sharpie and Aldo raising some money here. Clare House, all the hay and cash for kids. Let's bring Steve Wilson into things. Steve, it's Dale Tempest.
Hello, Dale.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm very well.
Give us your best.
Okay, I'm going to go from the Premier League, I'm going to go for Leicester to beat Aston Villa.
I think a few people keen on that one. They're 17-20, so just shy of even money, but Villa in poor form. I think they've only lost 1 in 10 at home to Villa Leicester. So, yeah, I think you're on good ground there.
Okay, going to go down into the Championship. Now, my wife and son are big Brighton fans, and we live down that way, and it's a massive game. They started brilliantly, Brighton. Massive game tomorrow, top against second. Brighton against Hull. I'm going Brighton.
I mean, Brighton flying. That win at Ipswich last week, I think nobody really sort of believed how sort of potential contenders they are, did they, until that win at Ipswich last week. You know, 1-0 wins, and Luar outstanding again with a winning goal. So, Brighton, you're in good form there. I think it's 6-4 you're looking up for a Brighton win.
Okay, I just want to give a shout out to a young, remember the name, James Tilley, 16 years old, made his debut for Brighton at the end of last season. And I know his family, and I keep telling him he should go on loan to Tranmere, but he's not having it. My third one is, I was going to do Tranmere, but Aldo's done him. So I'm going to go for dip down into League Two and Crawley Town, because my mate works for them and they need all the support they can get. This isn't going to happen, but I'm going to have them win at Mansfield.
Oh, that's a brave one. 12-5, yeah. you get the decent price out. I suppose they had a couple of good results at home, didn't they, Crawley? Beating Portsmouth, I think, and but the waveform's not been so great. But, yeah, you're getting a decent enough price there. So 12-5 on Crawley. Fingers crossed we at least get one of them in. Perfect if we can get all three.
This isn't going to happen, Steve Wilson said. It's not filling me with confidence, this. Dale, I'm sorry Jamie Carragher ate up some of your time, but it's a joy as always to speak to you, and we'll have you on for a little bit longer next week, Dale.
No worries. Hopefully we can be celebrating a couple of winners.
Superb.
Cheers, Dale.
Cheers, Dale.
Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Let's power through a couple of questions. Quick one here. Our girl Lizzie went out on the streets. This one for you, Aldo.
So I'm still in Highton Village and I've got Steve with me. Steve's a big red and he's got a question to ask both the legends this week.
Who do you think's the best manager, Van Gaal or... Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, dear me.
Oh.
Let you answer that.
You've got a minute and a half, John. Go on.
Let you answer that, lad.
Well, Louis van Gaal's been about a lot longer than Brendan, hasn't he? Yeah. It's a tough question. I don't like saying anyone's better than Liverpool from a Man United point of view, but
He's got a couple of trophies in the cabinet, so you'd probably have to see him at this present moment in time.
Oh, okay. Right, we could have expanded on that. We won't. We've got a few more of those. We'll play them on Monday. A couple of tweets, quick ones. Colin from Speak, Sharpie. Will the new lad Morrie get a game?
Could well do if we have doubts with Oviedo and Galloway. He may well play.
James, all right, Aldo, what do you think of Danny Ings?
Well, I said before, you know, I hope he plays. I hope he gets his opportunity against Man United. He done particularly well last year there with Burnley. So you get favourite grounds, and let's hope that he gets a run out and proves his worth.
OK, Alan and Kirkdale, with Courtois out, will it make a difference? 10-second Sharpie?
No.
Not at all. Mm. Quick predictions from all of you. The Everton game, Sharpie?
I think we'll get something out of it.
A draw?
Yeah.
A draw. Aldo, Everton's game?
Yeah, I've put that down a draw. I think both will be draw. Little okay.
I'm going to be brave, 2-1 Everton.
2-1 Everton. And the Reds to win at Old Trafford?
Well, I fancy them. I fancy Liverpool.
I've got to agree with what Cara said. 1-1.
Steve, brilliant to have you in.
I'm going to draw very quickly. Hasn't been one at Old Trafford in 15 years between the two.
Statman, four seconds. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks to the guys. That was the Legends.
Graham Sharp and John Aldridge, the Legends. Radio City Sport.